speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Why do you think that people believe that it's okay or that it's right for them to attend a denomination? In that, there are a variety of things that I believe factor in to why people do this. To begin with, I believe wholeheartedly that people who are involved in denominations, people who attend in denominational churches, people who believe that they are saved in denominational groups, that they do not truly understand the oneness of the Lord's church. Oftentimes, whenever you speak with people caught up in denominationalism, and we try to talk with them about the church, usually what you will find is that they will say, well, one church is just as good as another. You'll hear them say oftentimes too, is that we're all trying to go the same place, but we're just taking different roads. And friends, if they would really and truly think those things through, what they are saying, to begin with, are not taught anywhere at all in Scripture. There is but one true way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And going through Jesus means that we need to turn to Him and go according to that way by which He authorizes. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all by the name or in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean, do all in the name of Jesus? It means to do everything by the authorization of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what does Jesus teach us then as it pertains to the church? He does not in any sense, during the time in which He is here, personally and expressively in any way, nor does He do this after His death through the apostles by way of inspiration, teach that there are a multiplicity of different churches that belong to Him. In fact, Jesus very aptly taught during the time in which He was here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that I will build My church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. This is what Jesus taught prior to His going to the cross and dying for the sins of mankind. And we know as we read from the book of Acts chapter 2 that that church was established at Pentecost. So when the church began, there was but one church, and that one church believed one thing. There was one faith. And therefore, we should not be surprised when we read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through verse 6, where he identifies certain oneness. And he says that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and in that context, there is one church, one body. And that body belongs to the Lord. So the church began around 33 A.D. And by the time that the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints at Ephesus, we are about 64 A.D. So we are 30-some years with the church. And what Paul is identifying is that there was still one church in existence that belonged to the Lord during the time in which he was writing. And in the denominational world, they fail to understand the oneness of the church. Another reason why I believe that we find people attending, belonging to denominations, is because usually people inherit their faith from members of their family. A lot of times, too, as you talk to people in denominations and you ask them, why are you a Baptist? Why are you a Methodist? Why are you a Pentecostal? And they'll say, well, that's the way that I was raised. And as we go and teach them the things that God says concerning how that we are all to be one and how that we are to speak the same things, a lot of times they're not able to answer those things, but here's the thing that they will say, is that this faith was good enough for my mother and father. This faith was good enough for my grandparents. And because of that, this faith is also good enough for me. And friends, the Bible identifies to us is that our faith is not to be handed down to us from one generation to the next from an inheritance standpoint. By all means, as parents, as grandparents, we ought to do all that we can to root and to ground our children in the faith that is taught in Scripture. And in reality, here's what God says in regard to how true biblical faith is to be brought about. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Several years ago, I had the privilege of going into our teenage class and teaching some fundamental things as it pertains to our salvation. And in our first class, and I repeated this from time to time with our children, and that is that we do not want you to inherit your mother and father's faith. We believe that your mother and father certainly are in the right faith, but at the same time, you must own your faith. And we developed 13 lessons during the course of that quarter that would sow the biblical faith unto those individuals that were a part of that class, hoping and praying that they would continue to study those things and to abide by those things. And I know that the mothers and fathers were also teaching them those fundamental things that are necessary for biblical faith, because the kids were very good about answering. In the denominational world, they do not study the Bible as much as what we do in the Lord's church. And therefore, oftentimes, they inherit the faith of their parents or of other family members. Another thing, in regard to why do people belong to denominations, why do they believe that this is all right, is that oftentimes you will find that people will usually attend a church, if you would, where their sinful situations can be accepted. In the religious world, you will find a wide variety of things that we do not line up with from a biblical standpoint. One thing that we do not line up with on a number of areas is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. The Bible very clearly teaches that it is to be one man and one woman together for life, and that only in death or in scriptural divorce does one have a right. In the scriptural divorce, the innocent party has a right to remarry. Whenever one loses their spouse, then the surviving mate has a right to remarry, and they must marry someone who also has the scriptural rights to remarry. Why do we say that? Because this is what God teaches us. But in the denominational world, and sadly, even within some liberal churches of Christ, they say that when an individual turns to God, either in baptism, and this is what you'll find in the Lord's church who say this, that whenever a person becomes baptized, is that their sins are not only forgiven, but now they are able to enter into whatever type of relationship they want whenever it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And friends, that same school of thought, that same liberal ideology carries forth even into the denominational world, and even in broader realms in the denominational world. They believe when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage is that God will take you in whatever situation you are, and He will accept you, embrace you in that situation, and that you do not have to repent of those sins. And friends, as a result of that, a lot of people have flocked to the denominational world because of their acceptance of people in their situations. It doesn't make it right. In fact, these people will stand guilty before God still in their sin. And sadly, not only will these people who are in that sin, who are now also a part of the denomination, those who are teaching such foolishness and false doctrine will also stand accountable before God. What does God want us to do whenever it comes to these souls? Well, to begin with, God wants us to recognize the seriousness of the false doctrine, of their false positions before God, and to identify a lot of the, in fact, all, if we can, the things that they teach that would be contrary to the will of God. Why would God want us to do such? He doesn't want us to do that to be mean or to be cruel, but He wants us to know the difference between what is true doctrine and that which is false doctrine. And by identifying where other people are, then it helps us also to keep guard against falling to those same sinful and false doctrines that are out there in the world. So we must recognize the seriousness of the false positions that these people are in before God. But then in like figure, God commissions you and me as members of the body of Christ, of those who are part of the one church, a part of the Lord's church for which Jesus Christ died for. God commissions you and me as Christians to reason with these individuals from the Scripture in an attempt to open their eyes so that their eyes will be opened, so that their heart will be pricked, and that they might be one to our Lord and Savior before it is eternally too late. That might also go into a reason then as to why people are in denominations. Some people are in the denominational realm because they have never been taught the truth. And friends, I want to encourage each and every one of us to not be guilty before God of not telling people in the denominational world or others who are lost out in the world the truth about what God says. Because we will stand accountable before God if we remain silent on these matters.